2 Samuel chapter 15. We read a few verses from there, but then also we'll make reference to chapter 17 and chapter 19. But we'll read 2 Samuel chapter 15. I commence reading from verse 13 through to verse 23. The Bible reads, "And a messenger came to David, saying, 'The hearts of the men of Israel have gone after Absalom.' Then David said to all his servants who are with him at Jerusalem, 'Arise and let us flee, or else there will be no escape from us from Absalom. Go quickly, lest he overtake us quickly and bring down ruin on us and strike the city with the edge of the sword.' And the king's servants say to the king, 'Behold, your servants are ready to do whatever my lord the king decides.' So the king went out, and all his household after him. And the king left 10 concubines to keep the house. And the king went out, and all the people after him, and they halted at the last house. And all his servants passed by him, and all the Cherethites and the Perethites, and all the 600 Gittites who had followed him from Gath passed on before the king. Then David said to Ittai the Gittite, 'Why do you also come with us? Go back and stay with the king, for you are a foreigner and also an exile from your home. You came only yesterday, and shall I today make you wander about with us, since I go I know not where? Go back and take your brothers with you, and may the Lord show steadfast love and faithfulness to you.' But Ittai answered the king, 'As the Lord lives, and as my lord the king lives, wherever my lord the king shall be, whether for death or for life, there also will your servant be.' And David said to Ittai, 'Go then, pass on.' So Ittai the Gittite passed on with all his men, and all the little ones who are with him. And all the land wept aloud as the people passed by, and the king crossed the brook of Kindron, and all the people passed on toward the wilderness." Let's pray together, shall we? Father in heaven, we thank you for these beautiful songs that have been sung, reminding us and telling us of what a friend we have in Jesus. We pray, O God, that we too, you help us to be true friends to those of your people who need encouragement, who need friends. We pray that you teach us your ways. We ask now that as your word is being opened up, may you speak to all of us. And may we leave this place saying, God spoke to us, and we met with him. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We have followed David through different points in his life. We've seen him in the lonely hills of Judea. We've seen him mature as a boy. We've seen him rescued by God from the hands of King Saul. And now David is on the throne. And the last time we looked at David, we learned of the consequences of his sin, the sin that he committed with Bathsheba, and the consequences that followed. Though Nathan assured David that God had forgiven you of your sins, Nathan also did say that the sword will not depart from your house. And we learned of this biblical principle that we ought to learn and engrave on the tablets of our hearts. God immediately and totally forgives sin when there is genuine confession and repentance of sin. But he does not remove the consequences of sin from our lives. And we saw this in the life of David, as David's life began to unfold. This afternoon, we see another episode in David's life. The effects of David's sin with Bathsheba are in full blossom. David has seen his family knocked down, innocent lives devastated, and precious people destroyed, all because of the sin he committed. At this moment in life, David is at his lowest point in his life. Absalom, his son, has rebelled against his father, and he wants to take David's life. And he's driven David out of his palace and out of the city of Jerusalem. The passage we've read finds David running for his life. And this is the second time David is running for his life. The first time it was when Saul was after his life. And this time, it's Absalom, his son, who wants to take David's life. And at this point in David's life, he does not need a lecture on being a better father. He does not need a seminar on how to govern a kingdom. He does not need someone to come along him to tell him what a failure he is. He's seen his sin, and he knows it very well. At this point in David's life, what he needs is a friend. What David longs for is a true friend, one who can be close to him even in this moment of his life. And when you read 2 Samuel chapter 15 through to verse 19, you see there are so many people that come to David who were true friends, showing to us that we all need friends. These people walked into David's life just at the moment he needed them. And one of God's blessings to his children here on earth is that of true friendships. Friendship is the never-ending need of Christians. David found himself friends. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, when he was running away from King Saul, he found a friend in Jonathan. And that lightened the burden that David was going through. And now, as he's running for the second time from his life, God brings yet another group of people who were true friends of David. And some of the challenges that we go through as Christians can actually be avoided if we've learned to value friendships. If we had people that we can truly trust with all our lives, people that when we went to and confided in them, we know that they will give us good counsel, even if it means them rebuking us, they will do so. But oftentimes, we do not value the gift of friendship. And that's why you find Christians going through different challenges in life, and they've never bothered to share it with anyone. For some, they'll have good reasons to do so, because the last person they called a friend probably betrayed them when they shared with them what they're going through in their lives. That friend went and told everyone in confidence. And so the whole church got to know in confidence. But we need friends. We need someone who can see our tears in our eyes even before they come out. We need someone, if you went to and poured your heart, you know that I'll receive counsel, whether it's the counsel that I do not need or I don't agree with, but one thing I know, my friend will tell me the truth, or at least they'll be open with me. You need someone who can listen to the silence in your heart. Someone who can walk by your side. Someone you can depend on. And friends are of like minds. And the truth that we'll see in David's life is that friendship is a relationship. And this relationship is entered into by individuals of like minds. And this relationship will remain as close as it can be, or it will be as good as it can be, as long as those individuals choose to make it good or close. Someone has said that if you can count 5 friends at the tips of your fingers, then God has really blessed you. And this is what we see in the life of David. And in these verses, as we begin to open them up, we'll see this all important subject of friendship. But as we do so, we must look up to that true friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who left heaven, came down to earth to make us his friends. But also, if we do not have friends on earth, let's cry out to God, and God will bring someone in your life, one you can call friend, and one who can help you in your walk with God. And the first thing I'd like to bring forth is this. As you live life on earth, you'll be faced with different challenges. You'll be faced with different circumstances. And what you need is a sincere friend. What you need is someone who's sincere, a friend who's sincere. And you see this in the life of David, when Ittai the Gittite came into David's life. From verse 18 through to verse 22. This man is a commander of a group of men. And these men came to Israel from Gath. And these men followed David. And Gath, as you know, is in the land of the Philistines. And it was the home of Goliath, the one whom David defeated. And you might also remember from where we're coming from that David did spend some time living in Philistine. In the land of the Philistines, when he was running away from King Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 27, David found refuge in Gath, in the land of his enemies. And apparently while David was living in that land, he must have made such a great impact on this man called Ittai. And this man, when David was now finally king, he left his land to live in Jerusalem with David. And now that David is on the run, Ittai expresses his desire to be with David. He was a sincere friend. If he wanted, he could have said, look, this kingdom is being destroyed. I can go back to my country. But he chose to remain and be with David. Even this is the first time you begin to hear of this man Ittai. So far in the life of David, we haven't heard anything. But he resurfaced just at the moment when David needed such a sincere friend. When everything was down in David's life, this man steps up and demonstrates the depth of his love and friendship for the exiled king. And he makes a pledge that whether it's by death or by life, I will be by the side of the king. And this man was a true friend to David. When everyone else was going out of David's life, this man comes into David's life. And as we go through life on earth, we need sincere friends. We need friends that can be there for us. And if we have such kinds of friends, we need to take time to thank God for their friendship. Because they can leave any time, but they've chosen to stay with us. They've chosen to be our friends. And we need to take time to thank God for those friends of yours who are always with you when your life is on top of the mountain and when you are down in the valley. There are those people, when you look around yourself, you can see them in your life by your side. And if you have such a friend, a sincere friend like Ittai to David, God has blessed you. Learn to value that friendship. Sadly, there are so many people that would want to be our friends, as long as there's something they can benefit from our lives. I mean, there are so many people that surrounded David who were close to him as long as he was king and was on the throne. We are told of so many people, the servants, the concubines, and many other people that showed that royalty to David as long as David was on the throne. But this man is mentioned when David is no longer on the throne. Yes, he's the king, but he's running away from his son. A real friend will love you and stick to you even when you have nothing to offer them in terms of material possessions. They'll still be by your friend. And thankfully, as Christians, we have such a friend. We have the friend who said, "You will neither leave us nor forsake us." We have a friend who said, "You will be by our side regardless of our current condition." We have a friend who cares for us. We have a friend who's always by our side. Even when we are about to fall, that friend is always by our side. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a sincere friend. And so we see Ittai in David's life showing that he was one who was a sincere friend to the king. But we also need friends that are humble and modesty. And we see that thought in chapter 15 of 2 Samuel, verse 23 through to verse 28. Two names are given to us there. There's one called Zadok and another Abiathar. These were priests. They were men of God, but also men who loved David and wanted to follow him wherever he went. And so when David was running away from Absalom, they followed him and they brought the ark to David. Although David, however, asked them to go back and puts it to go back to Jerusalem and take the ark back into Jerusalem, they were still good friends to David. And David gives them a condition or tells them to do something for him. He tells them, "The best way to save me as your friend is for you to be my eyes and ears on the ground. So go back into the city and let me know whatever Absalom is planning to do." And these two men did not argue with David. They simply turned around and went back to Jerusalem with carrying the ark of God. And by these men accepting to go back into Jerusalem after they had left, they were risking their lives for a friend. They put their lives on defense for a friend. And these two men demonstrate the great marks of true friends. They demonstrate that they were humble friends to David. They do not question the king's orders. Even they know that if Absalom knew that we're on the side of David, he will take our lives. But they were humble enough to go back to Jerusalem. And this shows to us that real friends will stand by your side, sometimes regardless of the risk involved. They will stand by your side. They will be there when others walk out of you. And sometimes genuine friends may even get injured in the process of trying to protect their friends. That's true friendship. And this is something that each time when we think of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we as Christians should cry out to God that we need such friends, but also to pray to God that we can be such friends to others, willing to put our lives for the sake of our friends. A story is told of two men who went hunting. And as they were doing so, suddenly one of them shouted, "A lion!" And as the other stood to look, the lion was charging towards them. And the first one who shouted "lion" was busy putting on his shoes, getting ready to run. And the friend said, "What are you trying to do? Don't you know you cannot run faster than the lion?" And this man laughed and said, No. I'm not trying to run faster than the lion. I'm trying to run faster than you." And that's how some of our friends can be in our lives. In moments of challenges and difficulties, that's when you need friends. Not people that will run out of your life. That's when you need friends that can be close to you. Friends that are humble enough to be by your side, encourage you from God's word, pray with you. Friends that will understand your situation and they can be by your side and uphold you before the throne of God. Friends that you can trust. And so David knew that I've got two men in the city. Whatever is happening, they will inform us and they will let us know what is happening. Those were two friends to David. Those were his friends that were willing to defend the king, the anointed of God, whatever the circumstances. They were willing. But also we do not just need friends that are humble, but also need friends that are courageous. Courageous to stand by our sides, but also courageous to face us and tell us about our foolishness or our sinfulness in our lives. We do not just need friends that will pat us on the back, even if they know that you're not doing well spiritually. We need friends that can look at us and tell us this is wrong. And you see this in a friend that came to David by the name of Ushai, or Usha if you like, in chapter 15 verse 30 through to verse 37. This man comes to meet David as David is leaving the city, and this man is mourning. He's mourning about what has happened. His heart is broken over what is happening to his friend and to the king of Jerusalem. But David sends this man back into the city. Just like what he did with Abiathar and Zadok, David again asks this man to go into the city and to pretend allegiance to Absalom. And David is hoping that as this man gets close to Absalom, he will probably advise him about what he's doing, and maybe Absalom will stop pursuing David. David wants Hushai to counter the counsel of Ahithophel. Ahithophel was David's counselor at some point when you read those verses. But he was also Bathsheba's grandfather. Now when this man Ahithophel sees Absalom's rebellion, he sees it as an opportunity to get even with David concerning what he did to Bathsheba and Uriah. And he begins to advise wrongly Absalom. But David says, sends this man Hushai to be in the city and speak to Absalom. He asks him again to be his eyes on the ground. This was a brave man or a friend to David. And he went back to stand for David. Few friends will fit this description in our lives. Or, to put it the other way, not all of us can fit this description of a type of a friend, a courageous one, a gallant friend, a brave friend. Oftentimes we have friends who do not have the courage to face us and tell us what is wrong in our lives. We have so many of the people we call friends who go around telling everyone else about something wrong in our lives and not coming to face us. We do not need such kinds of friends. We need friends that are courageous. Friends that can come to us and say, "My friend, what you are doing is wrong before the sight of God." And if we had such friends, some of the sins, the secret sins that we hold on, or some of the challenges that we go through, we will not go through them. Because those friends of ours who are close to us will tell us when something is wrong in our lives. We need friends that are straightforward. We need friends that know the truth. And they will face us with the truth. We need friends that are courageous. Even though this man Hushai was courageous, we do not have any account in David's life where this man goes to David and rebukes him. But his courageous is recommended for the risk he was willing to take for the sake of David. But what we can learn from there is this, that we all need friends that are courageous. Friends that can come, look at us, and say, "This is wrong. And Christians need such friends. Oftentimes it's very sad, and it's also amazing that as elders we get to know of something happening in someone's life. And when you go to that person, begin to ask what's happening, and they begin to open up their hearts. One of the things that immediately hits you is that even though this person says they've got 3, 4, 5, 6 friends, none of their friends knew what they were going through. But there have been situations where one of the friends knew and just simply decided to keep quiet. And when you approach that friend, why didn't you tell your friend that this is wrong? This is sinful. The response you get is, I didn't have the courage to stand and tell him. But aren't you friends? That's what friends do. You watch out for one another. You go to your friends, tell them. Even if it means they don't accept, but at least you would have told them the truth. And sometime, they'll remember that my friend was right and told me the truth. We need friends that are courageous. But also need friends that are supportive. David had friends that were supportive to him. And if you went to chapter 17, verse 27 and 28, there are some men that are mentioned there that were supportive to David. He had friends. In fact, the whole of chapter 17 tells us about these three friends that David had. They were nobodies, but became somebodies to David. They walked into David's life when everyone else was walking out of his life. They came to David at the right time. And they came with exactly what David needed. And in chapter 17, David has left his palace. He's left Jerusalem. And he's out there running away from Absalom. And these men came to David and provided what David needed at that particular time. One of those men is called Shobi. He came to David and stood by David's side. In those difficulties, he fought with David. He was with David, and he did not allow what their experience, their first encounter they had, to obscure their friendship. If you read 1 Samuel chapter 11, you'll find that this man Shobi had an encounter with David. But that is in the past. But this man comes into David's life just at the time when David needed him. We also have another man called Machia. He was the man from Lo Debar. And remember, Lo Debar was where Mephibosheth was found. The grandson to King Saul. And this was the man who looked after Mephibosheth. But even at this time, he does not say to David, even the last time I did something for you. He comes into David and helps David with what he needed. They were supportive friends to David. You have another one by the name of Barzillai. Or Barzillai, if you want. He was an old man, we are told, in 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 32. He was a man, we are told, who had plenty of money. He was a rich man. But when David goes to him, he doesn't say, "Look, I'm too old, I'm tired, I can't help you." But this man gave David what he needed because he was a friend. When David was in need, this man provided for David. These three men reveal and show to us that we all need supportive friends. Friends that can support us, not in doing wickedness, but friends that will support us in doing good to the kingdom of God, but also good to man. These three men gave out of love with no hidden agenda whatsoever. They saw their friend David in need, and they were willing to help this man. No price was too high for them, for their friend. They were there to support him. They were not inconvenienced in any way. They saw their friend in need, and they provided for their friend David. These were his supportive friends. And if you have such friends in your life, take time to thank God for them. Friends are not like family. They can choose to stay or leave. And that's why you should take time to thank God for friends. This is God's blessing to us. Life on earth is hard. It's difficult. It's challenging. But if you have friends, you can pour your heart to your friends. They can help you in your Christian walk, and your burdens will be lighter because of these friends that God brings in our lives. The final thing that I would like to bring forth on this issue of friendship is that we also need truthful friends. We need truthful friends. And we see this in 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 1 through to 8, in a man called Joab. This man was a commander of David's army. And in chapter 19, that's why you find that Absalom's life is taken. And as David's army was trying to retake back the throne and Jerusalem, David's son, became trapped in a tree. And Joab and his armor bearer takes Absalom's life. And then they take the news to David. And when David hears of the death of his son Absalom, he cries, "Oh, my son Absalom." But this man Joab goes to the king. And he knows, yes, the king's son is dead. But he goes to the king and tells the king the truth. That there are so many things bigger out there that needs his attention. Yes, he's mourning for his son, but he cannot forget his responsibilities as a king. People are waiting to hear from him. There were issues that needed to be attended to. He tells David about his error and encourages him to go and meet and talk to the people of his kingdom. Joab was a truthful friend. Yes, David had the right to mourn his son. but he had other issues to attend to as the king of Israel. And he needed someone to tell him the truth. Inasmuch as you want to mourn your son, there are people out there who are mourning because there are lives of relatives that are destroyed by the rebellion of Absalom. There are things who are taken away from them. And you as a king, you need to go out there and speak to them and bring hope to them. It took a truthful friend to tell David that and show him the truth and what he needed to do. This is what friends do. Friends tell the truth. They don't sugarcoat the truth. No, they just tell it the way it is. And Proverbs 27 verse 6 tells us, faithful are the wounds of a friend, bountiful are the kisses of an enemy. A friend will tell you the truth. And the truth is not that they want to destroy your character or your life. No. It's because they care for you. They love you. And they want you to know the truth. And David was blessed with such friends in his life. He had Joab. But you also remember the prophet Nathan. He was also a true friend. He went to David and confronted David over his sins and pointed to the sin in David's life. He was not afraid that David was a king. He knew David was a friend. And friend tell the truth. We need truthful friends in life. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a friend indeed. He tells us about our sins. He tells us about the fires of hell. And then he confronts us concerning our sins. But the friendship of the Lord Jesus Christ and his church or his people should also be exhibited among Christians. Because as we look to the friendship of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will pray that such a friendship should be seen amongst God's people. So that when we live in this world, the world can see true friends. Friends that tell each other the truth. Friends that are there for each other. Friends that pray for one another as if it were their very own lives. We have the perfect example of true friendship in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we ought to be to one another in God's kingdom. This period of David's life was the hardest. Was one of those challenging moments he had to go through. He faced it, but it was with the help of friends that made his burden lighter. His own son wanted to take his life, but his friends were there to support David. And the people that God providentially brings within our life makes it easier for us to walk the Christian mile. These friends that we have who spend their time praying for us, supporting us in all that we do, are God's blessings to us. They make our Christian walk lighter. And we must thank God for such friends. And if there's anything I would like us to go with when you go back home, is this. If you have true friends in your life, God has blessed you. If you have people that you can trust, people you know can support you, not in doing evil, but in doing good, God has blessed you. And you must recognize those blessings in your life and take time to thank God for such friends. And learn to cultivate a relationship with such friends. A genuine one. But the second thing is this. God does not just bless you with such friends. But you need to find someone you can be a friend to. You need to find someone you can be such a friend to. There are so many people, not just in this congregation, but also in the world, in other Christian churches, who are hurting and in need of a friend. And they are looking forward to someone who can demonstrate the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. And you need to pray that God should open your eyes so that when you look at people around God's kingdom, in God's kingdom, needing a friend, you will be there to demonstrate the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in such a person's life. But also, you can also have a friend who's older than you. You can have a friend who's not your age mate. As long as he's one you can look up to, one who can support you, one who can rebuke you, one who can uphold you in prayer. God will bring such a person in your life. We need to be friends to others. And if we ask God to bring good friends in our lives, we must be willing to be good friends to others. But the greatest of all friends is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our ultimate friend. He is a friend who gave His life for us. And in His life, we see what it means to be a true friend. We see the characters of a true friend. The Lord Jesus Christ gave His life for you and I. And He knows our problems. And is in heaven interceding for you and I. Because He's a true friend. When you cry in the darkest times of your life, when those teardrops are coming out of your eyes, the Lord Jesus Christ listens. And He comes into your life to help you. When you are hurting, He listens. And He offers help to you. Jesus is the greatest example of friendship. And as the hymn writer says, and wrote, friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. Oh, what a blessed, sweet communion. Jesus is a friend of mine. Oh, the famous hymn, what a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, our sins and griefs to bear. And he says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. He is our friend, the perfect example of friendship, and he wants his children to do the same, to be friends with others. May God help us that we learn to appreciate this issue of friendship, and that we take it seriously. And as we do so, we will be a better people, because we'll be watching out for each other, and we'll be watching out for our friends. And when we see our friends are going down in their walk with God, we will offer to help them, because we have that perfect example of friendship, the Lord Jesus Christ. Friendship is the never-ending need of Christians.